Welcome to Stories of COVID, the interview project that explores what it's like to experience a global pandemic.
I never thought I would see this in my lifetime.
It is scary and it's very real, but it's not hopeless.
As I said, I changed 3 planes. None of them were wearing any gloves or masks.
I've never seen so much support for freelancers or artists in the media as I have now.
They both laid me off from just the advent of the outbreak.
I'm anthropologist and author Veronica Curran, and I am building an interview archive of stories and anecdotes that define this time in history to write a book preserving this experience for future generations. If you'd like to help preserve this moment in history for future generations, check out the show notes to sign up for an interview. Charissa has found the pandemic to be revolutionary. She thought that she was on one path, going to university for a single purpose, and had it all figured out. And then when the pandemic started, classes got canceled, she had to stay indoors, a family member passed on due to the virus, and she started to rethink all of her assumptions. As a result, she is on a radically different path today.
When I first heard about the virus, I was actually living in San Antonio, Texas. I had been living there for just about a year whenever the COVID virus first started, and didn't think it was going to end up being such a big deal either. I always thought back to the H1N1 whole thing back in like 2009, and I'm like, oh, it's just going to blow over, but then it didn't. I remember hearing about it. See, it was like in December of 2019, and I heard vague reports about it, you know, in China and stuff. And then like, it was like on the news articles, because I don't really watch the news. I'm more of like a reader of the news. So like I read the like news articles and stuff. And I remember seeing things about it. Like it was just kind of more like in China at the time. And then eventually like they started talking about like the cruise ships, and then people were starting to come back to America and to the States, and then it started spreading. I'm in Oklahoma, but I'm in a smaller town in like the western portion. I know a lot of people, they have a really negative perspective with it, or a lot of people that I've had exposure to, they've been just really negative about it. And for me, it's been something it's been really revolutionary, I guess you could say. Whenever it first started, you know, and I didn't think it was gonna end up being such a big deal, and then it ended up being such a big deal really quickly. You know, I basically had to uproot myself from San Antonio, where, you know, I had reestablished my life, and ended up moving back to Oklahoma. And I was in this weird kind of space of like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Then everything just kind of fell into place. I decided to kind of take control of my writing. I started getting back into it, getting back into a good like regimen with it. I ended up falling in love. I got married. We ended up going to Vegas and getting married like in the middle of the pandemic. And like everything worked out, like it just seemed like everything worked out perfectly. And like now my husband and I, we have our own house, and just everything kind of zoomed in, kind of gave me a lot more perspective. And so for me, it kind of ended up being such a positive outcome from it. Like it kind of forced me to kind of get my life, like get control of my life again and get it back on track. You know, it's so weird with Oklahoma, because it's such a conservative state that like nobody really cares about the virus, and it's weird. I had a doctor's appointment in Oklahoma City last week, and there's no sign saying that you have to wear a mask. There, like nobody was really wearing a mask at all. And especially like in the smaller towns, you know, because it's really agriculture based and stuff, so it's super conservative. People just really don't take it seriously as far as like the viruses go. You know, like they don't really care to wear masks. I've never really seen people wear masks in this town like at all. So, I mean, it's really weird. I know that the numbers aren't good. I know yesterday they said that there was 20,000 COVID cases reported. And then there was, I don't remember how many deaths, but I know that there was 20,000 cases. Personally, like I said before, I mean, it really kind of forced me to get back on track. Because like at the beginning of the pandemic, I was at this really weird stage where I had no idea what direction I was going to go and what I was going to do. I know I had actually started school right at the beginning of the pandemic for journalism, but then I ended up dropping out 3 months into it because I had to relocate. And when I relocated, I didn't have a steady source of internet access. And so I couldn't keep up with my schoolwork. So I ended up dropping out from that. But that's another exciting part. And today I actually start for my master's in psychology. So yeah, so I mean, it's been, for me personally, it's been kind of, I hate to say it, like it's been a positive thing for me. But I think it's just because I'm such a positive person. Like I try to be, like I look at the pro side of everything because everything is already so negative. Well, that's another thing. With the whole pandemic, it forced me to also think about mental health. And I have always been a huge advocate for mental health, but more so in the past 2 years than anything else, because I never realized how much we needed social interaction until we had to go on lockdown. And I could really tell how much it affected not only me, but the people around me, like the people that I was friends with, that I had long distance friendships with, like everyone was being deeply affected by it. And as far as psychology goes, it's been a childhood dream of mine to study psychology. Yeah, like, I mean, ever since I was 13, 14 years old, I could remember I wanted to live in Washington. I wanted to have a degree in psychology, and I wanted to be a psychologist. Like I wanted to provide therapy. And so that's another thing that this pandemic allowed me to do kind of was I established my own like resource website for people who can come and they can read blogs about certain things to do with mental health. And there's a bunch of resources as well available to them. So that way, you know, there's not really an excuse. That there's always something that you can ask for help for. I mean, if you need help, then there's always a resource for it. Technology is definitely something that, I mean, if this was, you know, back in 1918, whenever we had the Spanish influenza, it would have been a totally different story because we didn't have social media. We didn't have technology like we have today. And so back then, you know, I can imagine only how much harder it was then. Now I feel like it makes it a little bit easier because at least we can, you know, people are only a phone call away. People are only a text message away. You can email, you can video chat, you can Zoom. There's so many things that you can do to stay connected with other people if you're not able to actually be socially, like physically in the presence. Whenever the pandemic was first starting, and it was starting to become a, you know, starting to become a big deal, but it still wasn't that major yet. It was in April of 2020, and I was still in San Antonio. My grandfather came down with COVID, and I can remember I was just sitting in my bedroom, and my aunt and my grandmother both messaged me on Instagram, and they're like, "Hey, we just want to let you know that your grandpa's in the hospital. He's in the ICU, and he has COVID." And like they were keeping me updated constantly. And he hung on for about a week and he passed away. And that kind of like, I couldn't be there. And that's what really got me. Like, that's when I really started to realize how kind of like traumatic this is because like I couldn't be there for my family. Like I literally couldn't because everyone was locking down. Like I couldn't just jump in a car and go. I felt so helpless. I literally couldn't do anything. And so whenever the chance came up for me to come back to Oklahoma, I took that chance because I knew like I would rather be closer to my family if anything else were to happen than anything else. As the pandemic is kind of going on and more people are getting vaccinated and stuff, I mean, eventually, I mean, it might not be, you know, in the next few years, but eventually we'll return to semi-normalcy. And when that happens, I hope that I can move on to Washington and find a house. I mean, like I've been teasing the idea of going to Washington and like kind of like house shopping, just kind of looking around and stuff. And my husband, like, he's all for it. He's like born and raised in small town Oklahoma. And so like him actually wanting to venture out with me is like, it's really refreshing, because I'm really glad that I have someone who was willing to just jump out there with me. I have always been one that like, I want to venture. Like when I moved to Texas, no one thought that I would ever live in Texas, but like I had to get out of Oklahoma. but yeah, I mean, I have my grandparents here in Oklahoma, and I always tell myself that whenever they pass away, that's gonna be my time that I'm gonna leave. Because I'll be honest, they're probably pretty much the only people that's keeping me here right now. I feel very, very blessed and lucky. A lot of people don't have their great grandparents, so.
Thank you for listening. Subscribe so that you don't miss an interview. I interview multiple people a week, and I am releasing these episodes as fast as I can. And if the story meant something to you, share it, because it will probably mean something to someone else. Every time you share the project, it helps the project grow. So thank you. Until next time, stay safe, stay well.